I want you to turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 12. I said the wrong chapter, didn't I? John chapter 14. I want to just tell you very quickly, and I know as I look at this setting that I don't think anyone here is of the mind that, you know, they kind of like to rush on Sunday morning, and I always try to keep that message slow. And I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through this, but I'm going to stand close to my hand notes based upon the fact it's probably one of the hardest messages I've labored on in several years. You know, most of the time the Lord just gives you a thought and you breathe with it. But then there comes a time that you got to fight, even in preparation. You got to fight those demon spirits that are working, not just against me, but against everyone that attends this building, against the church in general. And it's a great struggle to go through. And the word the Lord has, let me say it this way. The word the Lord has blessed that I'm presenting, it's intense. And I don't want to take a rabbit trail. I don't want to get off base. I want every single word of this message, once I started, to enter into your soul, get into your spirit, and change your way of living. Last week I told you that God, when we had prayer the Wednesday before that I was right here. And I prayed out loud and I said, God, you called us breakthrough. That's where our name came from. It was a word the Holy Spirit embedded in my wife's spirit many years ago. It was a word that we knew was genuine when we saw the fight that took place in this building because of the name change at that time. But I said, God, you called us this. God, you called us to be a church that cares and all that means. And as I was praying, I said, now, God, help us to be that. I don't know about you. It's time. Things are happening in the Spirit. They're happening quickly. And one of the things that are happening in the Spirit is the Lord is in his temple. Don't get excited. I know you want to make sure you hear every word so you don't want to interrupt me. The Lord is active in his temple. What does that mean to us? Say it. The Lord, the temple. You are the temple. The Lord is present in the temple. And here's what I want to get your mind focused on. Please write this down. Take this thought down the road. Because the Lord is in his temple, active, there is no room. Oh, sucky, sucky. There is no room for the powers of darkness to take up residency or to work actively in you because the Lord fills his house. The Lord fills his temple. Please keep that in mind. I want to speak for a few moments, or however long it takes. I want to speak on the topic of breaking through. We've hit this breakthrough thought, but breaking through to the supernatural. Now, I don't like that word, but I use it, supernatural. I had planned on titling this, Exiting the Natural, Entering the Spiritual, because that's what it's about. It's about leaving the natural way of things and entering into the spiritual realm. Remember last week I told you, when we get to that word on warrior, that where Paul says twice in Ephesians, he talks about in the heavenlies. We've been blessed with all blessings in the heavenlies. In Ephesians 6, he talks about we do war in the heavenly. And I told you, in the heavenly literally means this. Look it up. It means in the invisible realm. That's where our struggle is. That's where our battle is. And we got to know how to get to that. And it's not hard. Glory to God. So in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12 to, let's say, 21, I think. Notice what it says. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, I'm going to add this word differently, they shall do also. And greater works than these shall they do. And notice what he says. Because I go to the Father. Now watch him. And whatever you asked, how? In his name. This is his promise to us. Whatever you ask in my name, Yeshua said, I will do that. And he tells us why. That the Father may be glorified. Glory to God in the Son. So he repeats it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me. Now here comes the catcher. Here comes the trouble. If you love me, what's he tell us to do? Keep his commandments. I'm going to use a word I know we don't like, but it is the word that fits. Keep my law. The law I give you in the spirit realm, keep that if you love me. Verse 16 and on. He said, and then I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that comforter may be abide with you forever. This Lord is in the temple. Even the spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him. Neither does the world know him. But you know him. Glory to God. Is that a sookie sookie? Somebody give me a sookie sookie. You know him. Why? For he dwells with you, and he's going to be in you. And I will not leave, verse 18, you comfortless. I will come to you. We just sang all this. And please understand, I don't ask Pastor Leon to do certain songs, maybe once in a blue moon. I started to today. I wanted him to do Hello, My Name Is, but I didn't even do that. But we just sung this and focused on this. I will come to you, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you're going to see me. And that's what started all this. Philip asked the question, show us the Father. But you will see me because I live, you're going to live also, verse 20 and 21. And at that day, you're going to know that I am in the Father. I am in my Father. And you are in me, and I'm in you. What a combination, collection, or whatever. Watch, we go to this again. He that has my commandments and keeps it, it is she that loves me. And they that love me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And what's he say after that? How's he end that verse? How's he in that verse? Aren't you looking at it? And I will love him and what? Manifest. Key word. Right there. Key word. Manifest myself to him. Now, we're living in a time. I'm not saying necessarily breakthrough alone, but in general, I've noticed this. There's no denying it. But we're living in a time where many people desire that our ministers address the issues of life without the power. We want to talk about family matters. We want to talk about financial issues. We want to talk about frustrations and how to handle those, along with many other things. But I want you to know, saints, and although there's nothing wrong with those thoughts, in the absence of the anointing, nothing changes. If the anointing of the Spirit that Christ promised is not involved, nothing changes other than it might get worse. Another thing we need to realize is that power, even the power of God Almighty, power does not change problems. But it does change the way we handle the problem. You handle a problem coming from a standpoint of power and victory and confidence in the Lord's ability as well as yours. That's what changes in our lives. Here in John 14, Yeshua is answering Philip's question. What verse was it? I didn't address it. In verse 8, Philip asked the Lord, "Show us the Father, and that would be enough for us." And so the Lord answers that question, and as he's doing it, he speaks of work. He speaks of prayer. He speaks of the anointing, and he speaks of manifestation. In other words, in these passages, the Lord is revealing to you and I today what it takes to experience or to receive his manifestation. Now listen, don't get messed up on this. But if you don't know it, it's time to know. You and I, we were made for miracles. Not only that, but miracles were made for us. It's an expectation of God. But he doesn't just hand them to us. I like Deuteronomy 28 for the quickest way of addressing it. And in verse 1 and 2, he talks about, you know, if we follow his word, if we keep his word, and we do what we're supposed to do, we honor him and this, that, and the other. Then he says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, most of the time, the word blessing refers to spiritual empowerment. But here in Deuteronomy 28, it is a reference to the miraculous or miracles. It's speaking about manifestations that are all around us. Listen, church, the manifestation of God, the miracles of God, they are on us, they are in us, they are chasing us, and they are ready to work through us. What did Christ say? The work I do. Now, rhetorical question. How much of his work did you do this week? He said, the work I do, you shall do. I go to the Father. Pray, and I will send the power. And you will work the work that the Father may be glorified. And then he said what? I will manifest myself to you. I'm talking about breaking through to the supernatural. But before we can get into the short heartbeat of this, there's a couple of things we need to know, such as to walk in the supernatural or to exit the natural and enter the spiritual. To do that, you have to press through in the spirit and break down every single hindrance that stands in your way. Listen, saints, you will never reach the place of walking in the glory of Yahweh. You'll never get to the place of experiencing God's power simply by wishing for it or simply desiring it. You must learn. As I must continue learning, you must learn how to... Oh, thank you, Lord. I said that wrong. You must learn and know how to breakthrough to the realm of the Spirit. Glory to God. Where Yahweh's miraculous power can be released in and through you. And preach. Both of these things are important. In you, then through you. God said, I to the children of Abraham, or to Abraham, and then on to his children, which is us. He said, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. So it's the blessing in us, but then it must work through us. Glory to God. Now, one of the biggest hindrances you will face in walking in the supernatural or spiritual realm, the biggest hindrance you're ever going to face is your own personal living environment. I wish I had a CD that I would have taped this. I'd like to listen to it later. Now, what do I mean by personal living environment? What I mean by that and what it includes is things like this. Your thoughts, your imaginations, your preconceived ideas, your attitude, your emotions, your circumstances, along with everything that you hear, see, or speak. That's your personal living environment. And we need to learn how to get through that. First off, we need to ask ourselves, can I get through that? Pastor Leon just hopefully impregnated all of us once again in the fresh and anew that we believe. And if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe in God. All things are possible. I don't want to rabbit trail, but I got to just take this two-liner. I have spent the last 10 nights from the hours of 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning watching the Paralympic Games. Those people impress me. And they hurt me because I saw their situation and I heard their stories, and then I thought of my complaints. And I thought of my situations. And I thought of my pains and hurt. And I hope you got to see some of it because it was miraculous to see, but I got to move on. But as I was just saying, your thoughts, your preconceived ideas, your attitudes, your circumstances, every and any one of these areas have the ability to hinder you from receiving the miracle power of God working in your life. Any and all that can experience or can stop you from experiencing a continual flow of the power of God, the anointing of His Spirit. And we've got to learn how to take care of this. Because unless you're knowledgeable about your environment, there is no possible way that you will ever be able to break through the natural barriers that are hindering your life. However, once you've broken through your natural limitations, it's a phrase I picked up from the Paralympics. Virtually every person they interviewed talked about in the earlier stages, all they looked at was the natural limitations. I have no feet, no legs, no arms. I'm blind. I have a combination of limbs missing. And they all talked about how they had the natural limitations, but then they talked about breaking through that. And now today, they're gold, silver, and bronze medal winners. And we had several from Virginia. We had a man from Manassas, Virginia, set a world record. He's only been in his physical condition for 3 years. And he made it to the Olympics in 3 years of learning how to walk again. And he won it in a race. Both legs amputated 3 years ago. All he thought about was his natural limitations until somebody put a bug in his ear. Somebody started speaking to him about what he could be if he wanted to be. That's what I'm trying to do now. Get you to break through your natural limitations. Why? So you'll be able to live in an atmosphere whereby you can experience miracles every day of your life. Every day. Now, before getting started, and thank you, Lord, I've got plenty of time. That always runs out real quick. But before getting started, and somebody next week, remember, if you think about it, to maybe pick up some water to bring to the icebox, or y'all call it what, a refrigerator? I still call it an icebox. I had an icebox when I was a kid. But before we get into the heart of this message, permit me to say this. Man is made up of three components. Now, I'm going to say them differently than they should be said, but there's reason. Man is made up of three components. We are made up of spirit, body, and soul. Remember them three in order. Spirit, body, and soul. Now, listen. Our spirit being is recreated at the time of conversion. When you accept Christ, boom, right then. Your spirit man is recreated and has been. Our spirit man is recreated. Our body, whether we like it or not, is decomposing, and it's going to continue to do so until it returns to dust. And our soul stands in the need of having an adjustment, soul being the inner depths of your mind. So, spirit's recreated. Body is decomposing, and soul is in need of an adjustment. Now think of it. In other words, one of these three we have nothing to do with. One of these we can't do anything with. And one of these we've got to do something with. See, I have nothing to do with my spirit being recreated other than accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do about my body decomposing, neither can you. But there's one thing I can do, and it's something I've got to do, and I must do because the hour is getting very late. And that is, I can change by the word of God and the anointing. I can change my mind in the sense of my soul, the innermost aspect. So with that all said, I want to just take a moment and briefly share three keys that will enable you to break through your natural environment. Now remember, I got a cough drop. That'll help. Now I encourage you to remember these keys. I encourage you to apply these keys to your life. And understand, thank you so much, Carol. I wasn't even thinking that it's sitting there. I know it's not much. I was going to save it, but I need it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, my God, that's good. Now, know this, today I am just going to give you a starter kit. I guarantee you're not going to remember what I say, everything today. But I pray that you will remember these three keys, apply them to your life. And it's just a starter kit. You will need to study these keys more intently later on in your private study time. And believe me when I tell you, your breakthrough depends on it. So let's look at these briefly. Key number one, live according to the mind of Messiah, according to the mind of Christ. Live your life according to the mind of Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He asked two questions. He asked one question and made a statement. Here's his question. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Anybody know somebody like that? I know we know people like that because, and we have some here. Because I often hear people telling God how to do what they want God to do. Paul said, who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that every one of us sitting here has the mind of Christ. It didn't mean everybody sitting in the church of Corinth had the mind of Christ at that time. It was Paul and his team, and the reason they had the mind of Christ was because they studied, prepared themselves, and got into the Word and learned how to live according to the mind. There's a number of New Testament verses that tell us in various ways to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not a foreign concept. But you see, the renewing or the making new of our mind, it refers to adjusting all of our thoughts. This is the challenge. Adjusting all of our thoughts to be exactly like the thoughts of Yeshua Messiah, just like Christ would think. And believe me when I tell you, the mind of your old nature, it stands in direct opposition to the mind of the new nature. In Romans 7, Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but this is Paul, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. That's Paul. Now, something I want to just inform you if you're not aware. Not everybody who sits in church, not everybody who possesses or professes to be a child of God. Not everybody that says that really is that. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 8, 19 and 14, Paul said this. This is the Amplified Bible. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Christ, that person is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. But, Paul said, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Here's the test. Those who have the Holy Spirit, those who have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, and those who are walking according to the Spirit, submitted to the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, they are the true children of God. This is why I wanted Pastor Leanne to sing that song. But entrance into the realm of the supernatural is through losing your old mindset or losing your mind and taking on the mind of Christ. We have to be living according to the mind of Christ. Secondly, second key, bring every thought, these are simple statements, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know what? Yeah, let me read this. We know this, but I just want to read it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they are mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. to the obedience of Christ. Living with the mind of Christ involves what the Bible describes as casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought. The kind of thought patterns you have developed over the years can be a great hindrance to the power of God working in your life and a great hindrance to you experiencing God. For instance, people who establish negative or fearful thought patterns, when they experience trials or troubles in life, they have a serious obstacle to overcome in order to break through to the supernatural or the spirit realm. Let me ask you just two quick questions. When you experience symptoms in your body, does or does your mind at times, or can it, or does it just run wild because of what you're feeling in your body? I have an experience where I feel at different times a very sharp pain in my chest, right in the middle. It is the exact stimulation of a heart attack. I've had enough. I know what they feel like. But I can tell you this in all honesty. I will not make a comment on how I'm feeling unless my wife says, "Are you okay?" I will not make a comment that I'm having that pain until I convince myself of the truth. This is not a heart attack. And 9 out of 10 times, it's gas. Big knot gets stuck right there. Anybody ever have that knot? It hurts. My God, it hurts. But when your body experiences symptoms, can you see yourself having cancer at that time? Can you see yourself having heart disease or some other fatal illness? Have any of these thoughts ever crossed your mind when you were ill? Such as, why has God brought this upon me? I don't think I'm ever going to improve or get better. As a matter of fact, I feel like I'm getting worse. You ever think that way? I don't think I have enough faith. I love this line better than any of them. When a born-again believer will stand in front of me and say, I don't think I have enough faith to be healed. Believe me. And I don't put them down, but believe this. If you had enough faith to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you believed in what He delivered you from and how He did it, if you've had that experience, you've got enough faith to believe for anything that God talks about. How do you respond when you have it, feelings like it? How you deal with when you're facing financial problems, do you ever think, I don't think we'll have enough money to get through the month? As a matter of fact, I notice we always have more month than money. I don't think we are so far in debt, it looks as if we're never going to get out. Or another one of my favorites is this. We never have enough money. Now listen, you may be in debt and you may get yourself fair by fully spending this, that, or the other. It may just happen. But one thing I can tell you, if you never have enough money, then you're living beyond your means. Because that's all that does that. You know, for instance, if you got not shallow faith, if your faith is younger, like the mind, don't go shopping on Rodeo Drive in California. Don't go in places because you got faith that you can buy $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 outfits. If your faith is young, go to Walmart. Buy whatever celebrity they're selling that month. My faith is at the level of Walmart. That's where I go, but I grow from that. But if you never have enough money, you're mishandling your funds and need help. I might say amen. That's truth. But I also want you to know this. I got about 3-4 minutes. If you answer yes to any of those things I just said, then ask yourself this. Are these thoughts in line with the obedience of Christ, who died for my healing and died for the supplying of my need? Are any of those thoughts in line with that? If not, we got to bring them down. We got to change the way we're doing things. Because in circumstances like these, we need the supernatural power of God operating in our lives. And for that to happen, we have to break through our personal environment by allowing our mind, our thoughts, our attitudes, and our imaginations to be completely transformed to and conformed by the Word of God. This Word, if you study it properly on your situation, it will literally answer every question, every problem, but more important, if followed, if obeyed, if practiced, it'll bring you through anything. That's what Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember, that's on the heel of, I will pray. If you ask in my name, I will pray the Father. I'll answer you. That the Father may be glorified. But remember, keep my word. Practice my word. That's why I said, I'm giving you keys. Remember them, apply them. The last final key. Tear down. This is a biggie. Tear down the stronghold of doubt and unbelief. Third key. Now let me explain something very quickly. A stronghold is any place where Satan takes up residence and exalts himself above the will, the plans, and the purpose of God. In terms of the natural environment of our minds, doubt and unbelief are major strongholds that we have to recognize, identify them when they're working, and deal with them in the anointing of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Because mental assaults of this type, they will shut you off by taking hold of the miraculous power of God. They'll shut you down. One reason, and I'm convinced of this as I get ready to close. One reason I'm convinced that we are not seeing the power of God on a greater scale than what we are. One reason I'm convinced of this is that is because we have limited God through a lack of faith. I want to say that again. This experience, or let me say it this way. If we're going to come and see the power of God like we used to experience daily, we're going to have to deal with doubt and unbelief. And I'm convinced that in many cases we have limited God because of a lack of faith. But please do keep this in mind, because I look at this congregation and I'm almost convinced of this, that every single one of you have accepted the Lord as your Savior. I'm convinced of that. So always keep this in mind. If I had enough faith for that, I've got enough faith for anything. Now, your faith could be weak, could be small, could be shallow. You might desire more faith or need more faith. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to God's faith, there's only one way I know to increase your faith, and that is through the Word of God. So if your faith is shallow, get in the Word. If your faith is weak, get in the Word. If your faith is immature, get in the Word. Why? The word will increase the faith. Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. Oh, man, I told you that time changes. Let me come to a close. But Jesus Christ himself was limited. In his own hometown of Nazareth, Jesus himself was limited in doing any great works of healing or deliverance. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, that the reason he was limited from doing anything was because the people lacked faith in the town. They did not believe. Let me say this, and I thank you for the extra few minutes that you allowed me to take so patiently. True conversions create a new mind. True conversion. And fresh anointings, they create a new mind. God said to Jeremiah in a very, very tough time of life, he said, call out to me, and I will answer you. God said, and I will show you great and mighty things. In other words, I will manifest things to you that you've never experienced or seen. But it's not just simply as that. Paul told the church at Rome, do not be conformed to this world, but he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may know, that you may learn. You can look it up later and see what it says. But I say you can put anything on the end of that, that you will know the wonders of God Almighty. You will know just how fearfully and wonderfully you have been made. But we've got to break this natural barrier and experience the spiritual barrier, exiting the natural, entering the spiritual. I want you to stand with me, if you would, this morning. I know I went a little over time. I went 6 minutes further than I'm comfortable with. But I've got to do what I must do, so I'm going to ask that, I guess we could stop. If you're at home, listen to me on this. But those here, I want to ask that all of you would bow your head and just close your eyes for a brief moment. No one looking around. I give you my word. I will not embarrass you. I will not do anything to disturb you. But I want to ask you a question. If you're standing here right now or at home, if you have not truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just simply raise your hand and put it right back down. No one looking around. This is a very private moment. I have never accepted the Lord, Pastor. Okay, I kind of thought that all present had. I don't know about those at home. So I want to pray for those at home that may. But if you're here, heads bowed, eyes closed, and you say, Pastor, you hit home today. I'm having struggles and limitations because of my flesh, the natural me, and I need deliverance. Just raise your hand and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Nothing. Listen, I had to go through this prayer several times this week because of what I allow to limit me in my physical, my emotional. But will you pray with me? Father, in the blessed, wonderful name of Yeshua, Messiah, thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the patience of your people that have heard this word. I pray, God, that it will take root in their lives and will grow, that they will not only remember these keys, but apply them. Study them more intently. Such simple things. Live according to the mind of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity. And tear down the stronghold of unbelief. Lord, we believe. We sang it and we mean it. And Lord, if there's any that are watching us through the internet today that stand in need of salvation and they're ready to accept, I ask that you would forgive them as they asked you for forgiveness and cleanse them from all unrighteousness in accordance to your word right now. Right now, Lord, any and all at home. And for those here, Lord, and those at home that recognize that they are struggling with limitations, they are wrestling and fighting with physical complications, emotional complications, imaginary troubles. Lord, I pray you would just send fresh oil upon their lives, a fresh anointing. And bring a deliverance equal to that which you told Jeremiah we would experience. Answers and manifestations that would just blow us away. And we thank you in Christ's name. And before I leave, I just want to ask those at home, if you have accepted the Lord today through this ministry, please send us a response to, Facebook Live. Or YouTube. You can either Facebook Live or YouTube. If you needed the prayer on that, just please let us know the result. Let us know you accepted the Lord. Let us know you accepted his deliverance. And now I pray that the grace and peace of Yahweh, God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that it would rest upon each and every one of us as we depart this sanctuary, but we do not depart your presence. Help us to remember the Lord is present in the temple at all times. Bring us back this Wednesday at the next appointed time where we can study and learn more about your grace through our blessed sister. And keep us in Christ's name. Amen. Remember, stay in the Word. It'll keep you from worry. Sign up to be a prayer partner. And please consider being a worker with the children's ministries.